Hi, I'm Ali Portee, fashion and lifestyle journalist and editor of Zayla magazine. I've always been interested in biographies and in the stories of people's lives, basically listening to what stirs their souls. Welcome to the Soulful Side of Life, where I let you in on some of my conversations with inspiring people from around the world in fashion, faith, entertainment, music, and entrepreneurship. These episodes come from a previous podcast channel that I used to have, Zayla Food. Zayla means soul, but in German. So soul food, but in German and English. I don't want to lose these episodes as I've dismantled Zayla Food and now have the Soulful Side of Life. These are still conversations that stir the soul about people's journeys, about the ups and downs of life and how they have overcome situations. I hope these episodes will inspire your life in some way. So enjoy over a cup of something hot or on your drive to work. This is The Soulful Side of Life with Ali Portee. I sat down last week with Phil, and it was a great interview, I must say. Phil is the former bassist for the Christian rock group Newsboys, but they're still around. But for me, it was a great experience being able to talk to one of the former members of Newsboys. I remember listening to them in the car as a child on the radio, so it was a bit nostalgic for me. But Phil was born in Auckland, New Zealand, and he now lives in Nashville, Tennessee with his family. And he has his own band now called Zealand, and they will be opening for the Newsboys for their United Tour this fall. Phil is an easygoing guy. He's easy to talk to, and you'll hear that in the interview. His passion for Jesus and music comes across in how he talks. So if you're in the U.S. this fall, go and listen to Zealand as they open for the Newsboys. So turn up the volume and enjoy this interview with musician Phil Joel. What part of New Zealand are you from, Phil?
I am from Auckland City, which is in the North Island, biggest city in New Zealand. It's very much a harbour city, two harbours, so lots of sailboats, lots of beaches, and it's kind of a little bit like the northwest, like Seattle over here in the US.
Okay.
But yeah, great place to grow up, really fantastic place to grow up. I ended up here in the US in 1994, came out of the US. The good old Newsboys, that's how I ended up here.
Oh, that's awesome. And I hear that New Zealand is kind of, especially Auckland, that it's a laid-back city. Although it's a big city, it's kind of calm and laid-back, like not like New York or London.
Well, somewhat. It's really different. I mean, it's the South Pacific, you know, so you have definitely a little bit of sort of islander mentality and attitude. But it's a pretty progressive type of a city,
okay.
Actually, and kind of a microcosm of cultures. It's a super multicultural city, which is kind of fascinating, and I find it really exciting.
Yeah,
everybody from all over the world has come to this city. Found it, you know, a place they want to live and they've immigrated, and especially in the last 20 years, it's changed a lot. So it's kind of fun, super multicultural and it's beautiful as well. It's a great place to be from. Home base for me now is Nashville.
Okay.
Nashville, Tennessee.
So you're living there full time now. That's awesome. Do you work with country music artists in any way?
Not so much. Sometimes I'll be dragged into a writing session and maybe help and work on writing a country song here and there, but it's not exactly my passion. So you have a certain amount of time in life, and I don't generally
don't have time
to do that on country music.
I see.
Not so much.
I see. I've interviewed quite a number of country music artists while they've been in Nashville.
Yeah.
So it's amazing how the genre is opening up to other genres, other influences. So
sure.
Yeah, that's quite fascinating. Did you always know that you'd be in a band?
Did I always know I'd be in a band? I mean, no. But when I picked up a guitar at around about 13 and a half,
mm-hmm.
I kind of fell in love with it and realized there was something in this. You know, it resonated with my soul somehow. And
that you were good
so
at
I
it.
I followed it. You know?
Yeah.
Well, I don't know if I felt like I was good at it, but something just resonated with me. And I grew up an adopted kid.
Okay.
Right? So often adopted kids kind of really, their radars are out, you know, their antennas are up looking for those things that they would gravitate towards, you know, looking for something, a connection,
yeah.
Something that's sort of a little, you know, bigger than their conditioning. And so for me, when I got introduced to music and, you know, playing music, I fell in love with it. And that was, thus began my love affair. Songwriting.
Oh, that's awesome. And what do you enjoy most, playing the guitar or songwriting, or it's equal?
I really like the creative process. You know, it's from the initial idea
mm-hmm.
becoming an actual recorded piece of art, I think is really exciting.
Mm-hmm.
Although at the same time, it's a lot of work.
Yeah.
It's really hard.
Yeah.
I mean, for me it is, you know, some people may, it comes supernaturally and they can, but for me, it's a labor of love that I have to work at pretty hard to try and get it to where it needs to be. So I love the creative process, but then also presenting these songs and playing in a live format is pretty exciting too.
Yeah.
Seeing how they resonate, seeing once you get these little kids out into the world, you know, if they're going to make friends with people, if people are going to like them, that's an exciting process too, especially when you poured your heart into something.
Yeah.
And the message of what it is you've got in that song, you know, you're hoping connects with other human beings, you know, when it does, it's pretty exciting.
How does it make you feel when you see people singing your songs?
Yeah, it's amazing. It's a really fun, experience I've been really privileged to be able to have experience. You know, it's kind of an honor to create these little guides, these little songs, to send them out into the world. And when people are singing these things back to you, you realize, wow, okay, this connected with somebody's heart, these people's hearts, and it's quite humbling, honestly. It really is humbling. It's like, how did this happen? It's beyond me.
Yeah, it's like God, the passions that He gave you and the gifting He gave you, it's just working out and going into the world blessing other people.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's a strange phenomenon, but it's, and at the end of the day, you just have to believe that that's God. He's delivering things that He feels needs to be delivered at certain times, you know?
Yeah.
And the songwriting thing is it's kind of fun on that front, where maybe you'll go through something, you'll learn something, you'll write a song, or you'll begin a song, and it doesn't get finished, or it gets put on a shelf, and then later on in a different season, you'll remember that song, or you'll come across it, and you'll be like, now, it's that song's time. And you take it off the shelf, you know, you brush it off, fix it up, finish it, whatever it needs doing, and send it out to the world. And for that particular time, you know, it's quite interesting.
Yeah.
Actually, it's not always. Sometimes these things sit around for a while, these songs, and you just wait for their turn, you know.
Right, but it's all about the right timing, too. God's timing and you being ready for the moment.
Totally. Yeah, and that's it, being ready for those moments, and having some of these songs, these ideas, and these things. I'm always writing down ideas, jotting down lines, you know, cardinalities, just always trying to do something in order to be ready.
Yeah.
And in my reading plan that I use, I use a 1-year Bible reading schedule, and just got through some Nehemiah. The book is just incredible in regard to dreaming and seeing the need, and then gathering information and casting vision for others, and then creating what it is that the Lord needs you to create, and building alongside others what it is that He wants you to build and be a part of. And so much of that, as I read in Nehemiah, is being ready.
Yes.
And getting yourself in a position to move when the time comes. And so it's the same with music, because it's just quite an odd adventure to be writing songs and then touring and receiving different invitations to be a part of different ministry events or tours or conferences or whatever it is, and being ready, ready for those things. Not just ready to be able to play guitar and sing the song, but actually having your heart ready in order to deliver something of worth.
Yeah.
That's kind of important.
It is. It's funny you mentioned Nehemiah, because I think it's an awesome book on leadership as well. And I always say that after we meet our triune God in heaven, Nehemiah is the first one that I'm going to go to and meet. Sometimes it's a tie with Nehemiah and Joseph in the Old Testament, but it's amazing how he had the grit and the vision, and that he stayed the course to do what God told him to do amongst the opposition that he faced. So
totally, yeah. And that's how we're going to live our lives. If we're going to be obedient and walk by faith and not by sight and do the things that we're called to do, we're going to as we're readying ourselves, as we're preparing, as we're casting vision, whatever it is we may be doing, and then on that pathway, we're going to receive opposition. You're going to be ridiculed even from people in higher positions who want to put us in certain boxes, categorize us, and say, no, you can't do that. This isn't who you are. We know who you are. We tell you who you are. You know, God didn't tell you to do that. You told you to do that. It's going to be so many different voices that you need to be prepared for in order. And like Nehemiah, as he says, I'm doing a good work. I'm not coming down, And as he's building with, using one hand to build and the other hand holding the sword, making sure that they're protecting themselves from whatever is coming. And so, same for us, as we build, as we work, as we move forward, we've got to guard our hearts. We've got to be prepared to shut our ears to voices that would try and throw us off course.
Exactly.
And so what I do, I'm a music minister, but we're all called to be doing different things in different parts of the world, different parts of the city we live in, and we're all going to be facing different opposition at different points, so we're all going to be ready to guard our hearts, because if we don't, we'll let little things in, that will
distract us.
Seeds of doubt and of fear and of distraction, and will throw us off the things that the Lord has called us to do.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. Who's the first person you want to go and meet in heaven, a Bible character? Of course, after you see the triune God.
I think Josiah.
Mm.
I really love Josiah. I think he's this king, young. His dad was crazy and evil, and he becomes a king. And it's a picture of all of us, really. We're all royalty. We're all these kids of the king, everything is our dad is awesome. But anyway, this is Josiah, this young kid becomes king, and he chooses God, even though everyone around him isn't necessarily, has been led astray, but he chooses God. Then he starts making reforms in the city, in the nation, and then he discovers essentially what was the Bible back then. It was basically dug out of the ruins of the temple, and he begins to read it, and it begins to change him, and he begins to implement some of these things that were written, and this, everything changes. But he was courageous, and mm-hmm. he was strong enough to say, I'm going to do things the way that God wants me to do things, not the way even my family has done things historically, or the people around me, or the culture. I'm going to do things in a way that will honor God. Because as we do, when we honor God, he honors us. It's just the way it is.
Yeah.
And so I just think that guy is awesome. I think he's his story is so cool.
Courageous. he and Nehemiah, I could sit with them for hours over a cup of coffee. How did you become a part of Newsboys?
Well, I was in New Zealand, and Newsboys had just sort of begun. They came down and did a tour down here, did some shows, and I was the lead singer for the opening act. And, anyway, I basically joined the circus, back in 1994 with Newsboys.
Mm-hmm.
And, traveling, the US and the world with them. But, it's funny, I think there's even a theme in our conversation here. Back then, I was ready. I didn't know what it was that the Lord was calling me to do exactly, but I knew there was something, and it pushed me to ready myself, and it motivated me to get things sorted out, even down to, getting rid of stuff I didn't need, selling things, saving, getting money together, I even got my passport. I've got a passport,
mm-hmm.
and I've got a 6-month visa in that passport for the US, but I had no idea that I was going to get a phone call from the Newsboys asking me to come over to the US and join them over here.
Wow.
So, I just took these different steps to prepare and be ready, and I was. And so when that, when it was time, bam, off we went, which was pretty amazing, which was pretty fun.
And it probably happened kind of fast. Like, when God gets ready to use a person, it happens fast. Like, the preparation beforehand, it may seem like, oh, when is this going to happen in my life? I've been waiting 5, 10, 20 years. But when that moment, when the anointing hits, I guess it's quite fast.
Oh, yeah. When those opportunities strike and they feel that something resonates with a divine correctness
mm-hmm.
that says, this is it, this is the path I've got you on, this is that moment, and you go, you move, I mean, other times, certain things happen, and they seem like big opportunities go real quick, and you go, might seem good, but is it God? And there's a cause for pause in those moments, and, but then the other moments where it's like, go, now, go, that's, you've got to be obedient to it, and when the grace is on it. And that was, that was my situation in joining the Newsboys. It was like, go, now.
Yeah.
Get on that plane, fly to Los Angeles, halfway around the world, and to a country you've never been to, and with people you don't really know, but I'm with you. It's time. And, so I think the Lord, I think honestly, if we're walking with the Lord and listening to him, he's always preparing us for what's next.
Yes.
Sometimes there are certain things that we're even involving ourselves, and we're feeling the Lord leading us. We're like, I don't exactly know why I'm doing this, but I'm doing it anyway. I'm learning. I feel like I'm meant to be learning, how to be an electrician, or how to rewire a house, or learn a language, or I don't know. I feel I need to be selling these things and saving money for something that I don't even know what I'm saving it for. We just have to follow those inklings at the point and be obedient to them. And then when that moment strikes, we're like, there it is. Bam, off we go.
Yeah.
That's the adventure of walking with the Lord. It's fun. Look at what he's been doing with you, the different countries you've been in, the people you've been able to meet and serve. I feel sad for people sometimes. I don't know if this is a righteous pity or whatever it is, but it's like, man, I wish you could just get a hold of the adventure the Lord has for you.
Oh, yeah.
Because it's wild.
It is.
And I'm sad because you're settling for something very, very here and now and earthly, and what you can see when there's a whole vast array of things that you can't even see right now, but he wants to lead you into.
Yeah.
And as you're open to it, man, it's going to be awesome.
It is awesome. I mean, just the mere fact that I'm talking to you, Phil, I remember growing up, and there was a radio station in Columbia, South Carolina called WMHK. It's a Christian radio station. And they would play Newsboys, and driving, my parents taking me to school, and we always had WMHK on the radio, and it's amazing talking to a former band member, but you were playing for them at this time, because I started first grade, I think, in 94. So it's right. just amazing how God is,
You know that we're touring again, right?
Yes.
So Zealand is the band I'm in.
Yes.
You know, that I started and I'm in '94, and we are opening for this Newsboys United tour. So myself and Peter Byrne are back with the guys, and we're playing all those songs that you would have heard on the radio back in the day, you know?
Wow.
And it's super fun. It's so fun. But even bigger than that, it's great. I mean, I'm just, you know, I'm just living the dream, honestly, right now. I get to play the new music that I'm creating with Zealand, and then I get to walk down memory lane with Newsboys World, and I get to watch people respond and react to these songs that, you know, 15, 20, 10 years ago, whatever, this music soundtracked formative years of their faith, and they just get emotional. You know, they're like, oh my goodness, I didn't realize how emotional this was going to be. Hearing an up-tempo sort of Newsboys pop song like Take It to Your Leader or, Shine or No Shame or Entertaining Angels or whatever it is.
Yeah.
And they get emotional because they realize, wow, God used that music to soundtrack and move. And soundtrack, you know, my faith back then. And
yes.
It's been really fun because it's been a part of sort of refreshing certain people's hearts. Again, remembering he was faithful back then and he was really fun.
Yeah.
And he's faithful now and he's still super fun. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I don't know, fun, you know, we don't always connect that word with God, but he is. He's so fun.
He is.
He's never been fun. As he leads us, he's fun.
He's amazing.
It sounds trite or stupid.
No, I mean, and I totally can relate. And even though I was 6 years old in 94, hearing the Newsboys songs at that time, it was like the foundation of my faith. And when I see the kids at the refugee, Syrian refugee children, they're up there singing songs about Jesus and they're loving it, the hand motions and everything. And I said, God, please, like when they become adults, may they remember this moment when they were singing about Jesus.
Yeah.
And you hope that they don't become extremist in ideology, but that a seed indeed has been planted, but may they hold on to it as they grow. Yeah.
Totally.
Music is powerful.
One of the things that I've been able to do, you know, talking about this adventure, after I moved on from Newsboys, was that I made some kids' music.
Mm.
And it was super fun. It's been super fun. It's called Deliberate Kids.
Okay.
And it's rock, and it's up-tempo, and it's basically Newsboys kind of stuff, but with lyrics that you want to get into kids' heads and hearts. It's goofy, but it's not stupid. You know, it's not like singing about the wheels on the bus or something.
Right.
It's what it is. But it's, I created exactly for that. I just felt like we need to create this stuff to get stuff into kids' heads and hearts that would really, you know, because then it comes back void. Once it gets in there, it's going to do its thing, plant those seeds, and eventually that. You know, it'll be fruit and you'll have it in the season. So, you need to check that out. Deliberate Kids. I will.
In Zephaniah, it says that God is a singer, and we see all over the New Testament that heaven is filled with music. I think there was a king in one of First or Second Kings that he put the choir on the front line of the battlefield as they were marching into battle.
Wow.
So how does that make you feel, or what comes to mind when you hear that God is a singer and heaven is filled with music?
It makes me feel inadequate. Because he's got to be the best singer in the universe.
Yeah.
and say, can I be threatened by God?
No, he'll probably say, come on up here and sing with me, Phil, or play the guitar while I sing.
It's pretty fun. There's something about music and the whole thing that is, it's just bananas, you know. It pulls us all together, and it used to be something that would divide families and churches even, but, you know, music can now, is now more of a unifier than ever before, you know. I think you've got kids and grandparents and their grandkids, you know, listening to the same kind of stuff, because we all kind of grew up listening to rock and roll now, you know. It's pretty interesting. It's a fun time to be making music and listening to music, honestly. Especially because it just can get into people's hearts and change the way we see and feel and think about issues about ourselves, and most importantly about God and who he is. Making these declarations and proclamations. It's God's idea, you know. The whole worship, like creating music that is going to sort of remind us and refresh us, and reinstate and reinstall truth into our hearts. That's what it's for. It's not like God's needing us to sing to him. He's not, you know, he's not arrogant. He's not standing there going, tell me how glorious I am. I need you to tell me how I'm exalted. No, he's not. We think that, you know, the more we sing and the more we tell him how great he is, something happens. And I guess something sometimes does, but it's our own hearts as we declare how good he is, how great he is, how glorious he is, if you want to use that term, then something happens inside us. Our hearts open and the truth is allowed to take residence in there. And it's so fun. It's such a privilege to be able to be a part of, you know, creating music that hopefully does that.
Yeah, and it has, just music has a lot of power, because on the opposite spectrum, when you have people who aren't making good music that has misogynist lyrics or bad words in it, you're also affecting and influencing people the same way. We have to be careful.
We do, you know. We have whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is just, praiseworthy of good report, you know, that we have that. I think it's Philippians 4:8. I think it's what it is. I might be wrong, but we have that scripture up at different places around the house. You know, it doesn't have to be signed, sealed, and delivered, card-carrying Christians that are creating, you know, music that is going to edify our souls. Sometimes it's just others who are making pure, good art that is declaring good things of God's creation. You know, and that can be edifying. So we're definitely not closed or sort of exclusive, and that all music must contain the name of Jesus. But, you know, all truth is God's truth, and he's not threatened.
Yes, by it. You mentioned that you're a worship leader, but you didn't think of yourself as a worship leader when you were in Newsboys, right? How did you get into becoming a worship minister? And are you doing that in a church, I take it?
No, I'm not. I was on a tour with a youth organization called A Choir of Fire, on a Teen Mania, and they're doing these conferences all over the country. This was about 10 years ago. And I was there just singing songs, made solo records, and so I was there as a solo artist, basically, and on that tour. And then the last weekend of the tour, the worship band couldn't make it. And so they said, hey, will you lead worship the last weekend in San Diego? And I was like, no. I don't know how to lead worship. I mean, I get it, you know, but that's not what I do. Like, I've done it before. You know, Newsboys, we used to do a certain amount of that. You know, we had certain songs that were corporate worship songs, but wasn't our primary focus. I said no, and they said no, we really feel like you need to do it. So I went home and I told my wife, and we prayed about it, and I was like, okay, great, I feel I'm meant to do it. I'll do my best. So I did, and I just fell in love with the whole experience of what and something clicked where I realized what worship leading kind of was.
Wow.
It was all about leading people to a place that you wanted to go. It wasn't about you. And it was a combination to me of the things that I've been a part of, learning how to hold myself on stage, how to sing, how to play my instrument, how to transition from song to song,
Also to lead,
and so it was
leading people's hearts. And I think being a worship leader is different than playing on stage with a band, and that's like the Newsboys, right?
It's one really massive conversation, honestly. What is worship, and when is it worship, and when is it not worship? When is it performance, and when is it, praise? It's kind of a big conversation. But in the midst of doing it, especially back then 10 years ago, I realized, wow, this is so fun.
Yeah.
This is really fun. We're just going on. I feel transparent here. I'm leading people in these declarations and proclamations, and I'm just sort of being a part of the process here. I'm not the focal point at all, and it feels really good because the pressure's off.
Yeah.
All eyes are on the Lord, not on me.
Yeah.
And so worship is a big part of what, worship leading is a big part of what I do now with Zealand.
Mm-hmm.
We also do sort of concerts. We also share from our experiences with the Lord as to what he's been doing, what he's been saying, attributes of who he is, and sort of wrap up in different songs. Struggles, even, when you look at David and when you look at the Psalms across the board, some of these songs are just, straight up, Lord, how majestic is your name, how glorious are your ways. It's very much like letting out these just proclamations of praise.
Yeah.
And then others of these songs, of this poetry, is personal struggle and wrestle with anger, with discouragement, and then allowing God to enter into that and speak truth to those things. So I still feel like songwriting and the art of worship is pretty broad. It can manifest itself in a lot of different ways. So I'm very careful not to sort of categorize worship as a particular genre, which is in our American Western way of thinking,
mm-hmm.
Has to be able to be sung in church and has to be a corporate type thing where we can all follow the rhythm and play the chords rather simply, and have to have I get that. That's helpful and it's really useful and has its place. But I'd like to think that we can open ourselves to broader expressions of worship. Because really what worship is doing is opening our hearts, and it's connecting our humanity with divinity.
Yeah.
And creating those moments where our hearts melt and we're open to the truth, and hopefully the truth takes root and sets us free in those moments. And that's what we experience when we're in worship concerts, or even when we're in other concert type settings. We've been in a worship setting that we don't even know we were in. We're not labeling it that, but something happens in our hearts when we connect with God.
Yes.
Anyway, that's a big conversation, Alexa. It's a fun one, though, because God
it
is so big and so vast, and like you say, he's the creator of creativity. He's the ultimate musician, singer, all of it. So he loves it. He loves us pushing things around and wrestling with this and that. We come so far. There were the days when people would picket Christian concerts, because of the drums, because of the distortion on the guitar, because of the distortion, of course, it's from the enemy, distortion of truth that needs to be pure. There's so many silly little things that we would sort of fight over and wrestle with, but, we move forward and God sort of brings truth and allows these arguments to unfold for our pettiness to fall aside and for us to worship in different ways.
Exactly.
Different sounds and different songs. It's pretty fun.
It's
fun science, if you want to call it that.
It is. It's amazing how just worshiping God in different ways. But yeah, with worship, it's a special moment that you don't have, I think, even in going to any other kind of concerts. How do you balance marriage, and are you a father as well?
I am.
So how do you balance being married, being a father, and band life?
What makes you think I am balancing it?
Well, you've got to be. Well, oh, I see. Yeah. You're just giving 100% to all three.
Yeah, you just have to follow the Lord's lead and make tough calls at certain points that seem tough but aren't, because if he's leading, then, you know, his grace is going to carry you through. And where guides, he provides, you know, at certain points. You know, for me, I spent 13 years in the newsboys world and realized, wow, I cannot in the next season be a good father, husband, musician, minister, whatever you want. You know, I can't do all of these things this next season as my children are growing. And I need to put this newsboys thing, it's time for me to step aside and for me to do something else that the Lord will lead me into, and that is maybe more manageable, so that I can be a very present dad and husband, you know?
Yeah.
So, yeah, you know, that's a point. He leads us to make some tough calls that might not look, you know, logical to people. Again, it's, well, if he leads you, yes, we make certain moves, and you need to make certain moves and do certain things that others will say, what are you doing? You know?
Yeah.
That's dumb. You're being reckless. You're being, I don't know, whatever, you know. But that's God.
Yes.
I think there's always an element of danger, and it's pretty fun, because they were called to walk by faith and not by sight.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. What's a song in your iPhone or whatever it is that you listen to music on that you can't stop listening to right now?
Well, really, a song I can't stop listening to right now, Peter Gabriel.
Oh.
In Your Eyes. Oh, I love that song.
Can't stop listening to it.
You know that song? It's one of those ones, yeah, right now in the season. I'm like, oh, what shall I listen to? I'm gonna listen to that song. You know. Oh, I'm making dinner, what shall I listen to? I'm gonna listen to that song. You know, whatever. Yeah. Things like whatever I'm doing, I just want to listen to that song. Okay. And it's beautiful. And it's one of those, it's one of those, when you listen to it, Ali, In Your Eyes by Peter Gabriel off the album. So this must be like 30 years old, easy, this song. It just does something. It's like, wow. He's not a professing Christian or anything, but there's something in that soul that makes me go, makes me breathe deep and smile and say, Lord, you're good.
Yeah.
You're good. Yeah.
Yeah, that's awesome. Yeah, it's great when you get a song inside of you and you just can't, the words speak to you and all of it. So, last question. When you hear the name Jesus, what comes to mind?
Compassion.
Mm-hmm.
Compassion and magnetism. I think when people were around Jesus, they were just drawn to him, and they would breathe deep, and they would stand tall and knowing that this was God in the form of a man, and it just drew people to him. And that's why these crowds followed him. That's why people clamored to get to be in his presence, because they felt like themselves.
Mm-hmm.
And this is Jesus is representing who the Father is. He's saying, hey, you are fearfully, wonderfully made, and you are forgiven of your sins. Accept it, take it, it's a gift, and begin to walk with me and enjoy me as I am. And who I am is not an angry God desiring of you to just be better, do better, sacrifice more. He's saying, come on, I know you, I see you, I understand you, and I love you. and let that be the motivation for change in your life if it's needed.
Yeah.
And it is needed. It's needed in all of our lives. But this Jesus heart of compassion for every human being,
yeah,
not just the ones that we consider on the inside, on the in crowd, on the right team, but everyone.
Yeah.
His stories are just phenomenal when you open them up. They challenge us. They challenge our religiosity. They challenge our boxes, our little categories. And I think that's what got him in trouble, didn't it? You know,
yeah.
He blew the lid off religion, and people began to see God for who truly was, this loving Heavenly Father that wants good things for his kids and wants his kids close. He can't stand all the red tape and the hoops that people put in front of us to jump through.
Yeah.
And when we see him like that, when we see him, then it melts us. And the Bible talks about how his kindness leads us to repentance. And it does. I follow Jesus because he's so good.
Yeah.
And he is so loving and so kind and loves me, sees me and understands me. And I'm not following him because I'm scared of him.
Yeah.
I'm not following him because I want to be on the winning team. I'm following him because he represents everything that is. He represents everything life-giving and hope-filled and truth-saturated. Does that make some sense to you? That's why I'm following him.
Yeah, it does make sense. It does. I think also Jesus, while he was so kind and compassionate, I think he was very tough. I think oftentimes, you know, we Christians, we want the easy life. And so when something happens, we say, oh, it's the devil. It's the devil. But sometimes I think that God is saying, you're giving credit to the devil for something I'm allowing to happen in your life. And Jesus, I think he was tender, but at the same time, he's tough. But in that loving, compassionate way that you're speaking about.
Like Rizzo from Greece?
Yeah.
Sorry. Tell your kid that, Rizzo from Greece.
Yeah.
I think he's firm. He's firm and definitely allows us to get out of our debt so that our feet get off the ground so that we end up swimming and walking by faith. And that makes sense to me. You know, I'm a dad.
Yeah.
I'm a dad for sure. And I will definitely allow my kids to get out of their debt at different points, which may seem like suffering, which may seem like cruelty, but it's all, I'm allowing certain things because I know that they need that experience to grow.
Yeah.
And you're right. Jesus will allow us to go through tough things. And there's always wilderness in the part of in this journey. You know, in this journey to something better. But in the midst of the wilderness, he's always going to provide.
Yes.
But it doesn't mean that it's not tough. There are dangerous animals lurking, and that it's dry and it's dusty, and we can be a bit miserable in those moments. But his presence is always there.
Yes.
And he's always going to provide. And he knows what he's doing. Yeah, you're absolutely right. So.
Yeah, it's that verse from Joshua, I'll never leave you or forsake you. So be strong and courageous. Yeah.
Totally.
Well, Phil, this has just been awesome to chat with you. I would have never thought at 6 years old I would be speaking to the former bass player for Newsboys. This is awesome. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Look after yourself over there in Dubai.
Thank you.
Great. Yeah. I appreciate your time, Emily.
Of course.
God.
Yes. I wish I were in the U.S. now so that I could go to one of your concerts, but I don't. I think I won't be back till Christmas time. Are you on tour around Christmas time with Newsboys?
We're on tour up till December 16th.
Okay, I'll keep that in mind.
And then we'll be doing Winter Jam, so we'll be in South Carolina doing Winter Jam.
Oh, okay. I'll keep a lookout on your website for that.
There you go.
Awesome.
Thanks, Ellie. Well, have a good day. Have
you
a good,
too.
Good evening.
Thank you, and God bless you.
I hope that you enjoyed this podcast episode. and that you have found a soulful connection to the conversation. God bless you, and until the next episode, go bless somebody else.